come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Let's reflect a little bit on this idea of rest. In a sense, that's what we're doing here. When you come to the chapel, you're coming away from the crowds and the demands, and you rest in the presence of the Lord. Might not be a deserted place exactly, but a place of rest. And this is a moment. Pondering always is a kind of rest. Well, to start this reflection, I'd like to invite you to try to extract yourself from modern culture and the ideas of rest that come to us automatically. You know, in modern culture, we think of the weekend mentality, live for the weekend, and the purpose of rest is so that we can party and play video games and drink and whatever, as if the whole idea of rest is to get away from it all. That's a kind of modern idea. Even the idea of the weekend being a kind of right is a modern idea. And if we can, try to extract ourselves from Judeo-Christian culture, which has got a lot of richness when it comes to this topic. Try to think like a pagan for a moment. Maybe it's easier to think like a pagan nowadays because cultures are becoming more pagan and people are losing their understanding of God and his plan for our rest. But anyway, extract yourself from what we normally think and go back to cultures where there was no revelation of God. There's just natural demands. And the first thing that every culture and every person knows is that we have to rest every day, have to sleep. The body can only go so long before we have to sleep. That's physical necessity. And even in situations where there's no respect for persons, in the gulags and the concentration camps and slave colonies, even slave drivers know you can only get so much work out of a slave before he or she has to rest. So you can maybe get 12, 15 hours of work, but you keep doing that and you're going to burn out your slave. So rest is a necessity and food is a necessity. We have to eat and sleep every day. So that's not hard to grasp. That's not the kind of rest that Jesus is speaking about here, although it's a first level. I mean, we do need to sleep and eat. By the way, if you're not eating and sleeping every day, something's wrong. Don't overwork yourself, don't starve yourself. Take care of your body. That's a very fundamental. But there's more to rest than this. I remember reading years ago a little book it was actually a philosophy book. It was entitled Leisure, the Basis of Culture. Kind of a classic of 20th century philosophy. Leisure, the Basis of Culture. It's related to this question of rest, leisure. And I don't remember that whole book, but the basic idea was, if you don't have leisure, you can't develop culture. If you don't have a little bit of space in which to read and sing and develop the arts and think outside of absolute demands of a food, clothing, and shelter, well, that culture can't develop. So it's necessary to have leisure if the culture is going to develop. It's kind of the fruit of a healthy culture is to have healthy leisure. And the fruit of leisure, the highest fruit of leisure, is worship. And the highest kind of worship is liturgy. We might not think of it this way, sitting in a simple chapel and a simple mass, but the liturgy is very, very high culture. A lot of development has taken place over centuries to get to the point where we have this way of worshiping God. Okay, so there's more to rest than simply sleeping. It was the Jews who understood, because it was revealed to them, that rest is built right into creation. Rest is part of God's plan from the beginning. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. God himself rested on the seventh day. Now, that's the way the Jews expressed it. It's in the book of Genesis. God rested on the seventh day. Now, we know God doesn't rest. He doesn't change. He doesn't stop doing what he's doing. That's a revelation for our sake. God is like the sun. The sun, even though for us it goes up and down, you know, the sun goes to bed at night, but it doesn't really go to bed at night. It just, we can't see it anymore. It's burning just as hot at night as it is during the day. That's God. He doesn't change. But he gives us this understanding that there's a kind of rest that's not just sleep. If we sleep every day, we don't have to sleep all day on the seventh day. It's a different kind of rest. It's a withdrawal from the absolute demands. And, you know, in pagan cultures, they don't have a day of rest. Slaves don't rest. They work every single day. Every day is the same. And people in absolute necessity, in order to survive, work every day. They work hard every day. How can anyone not do that? Well, in, again, pagan cultures, it was only the rich, or only the landowners, or the royalty, or the chief of the tribe, or whoever, who could afford not to work. But everybody else, which is almost everybody, works every day, all day. How can we afford to say, I won't work? I will stop my work. What gives us the freedom to say, I will not work today? I will not be caught up in the necessities of life today. The Lord. The Lord is the one who makes it possible to rest. Because if we don't have the Lord, if we don't have someone taking care of us, well then the responsibility for taking care of ourselves is all on us. That's the definition of a slave. I have to do it. I have no choice. You might think of, as a biblical illustration of this, the Jews when they were in Egypt, or the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, what were they? They were slaves. They were forced to work every day. And God didn't want them to be slaves. He wanted them to be free, so he called Moses and said, lead my people out of Egypt, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, not just so that you can go and play video games, go into the desert so that you can worship me. The purpose of getting out of slavery is worship. The real rest is rest in God. It's related to what we studied on Sunday, the Beatitudes. Beatitudes are connected to this idea of spiritual rest. If we want to be blessed, what we really want is to rest in God. We want to be satisfied by God. Remember one of the Beatitudes, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst. What do we hunger and thirst for? Well, we hunger and thirst for satisfaction, for union with God, for communion with him, for his will to be done. And the Beatitude is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. They will rest, if that's what they really want. They'll get that reward of rest. Jesus here sees the need of the disciples. They have been active in their ministry. They're tired. They're surrounded by crowds. They can't even eat. And so he says, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. He gives them the freedom not to continue their mission for a while. As I say, what gives us freedom to not be slaves is the Lord. There's a great example of this in today's Psalm. Psalm 23, famous, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm. Well, it's because the Lord is my shepherd that I don't have to be enslaved to necessities. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want, because he provides for me. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. That's rest. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. That's rest. That's the rest that we're talking about here. Now, we know that it's not absolute in this life. And if we read the rest of the gospel, we know what happened. It's time to get some rest, guys. Okay, let's go to a deserted place. When they get there, there's a big crowd of people there. Now what? Well, that's our experience in this life. We see the necessity for rest. We know that God's will is that we rest, but God also takes us by surprise and puts further demands on us. This is certainly true in marriage and family life. Family life, especially when you have little ones, is constant demand. You can't, seem like you can never get enough rest. And God does that in order to stretch us, not to burn us out, but to expand our hearts, to love beyond what comes naturally to us. What comes naturally to us is self-service. But when we are moved to take care of others, we grow. Our hearts get bigger. And this is what Jesus shows the apostles. He sees the crowd, they're enslaved. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They have no way out. And so he says, I'm going to take care of my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to take care of my sheep. Now, we all have to participate in that. But I want to back up and stay with the idea that we're the sheep and we have a shepherd taking care of us. That's what makes it possible for us to rest. That's what makes it possible for us to take care of others. Otherwise, we have to take care of ourselves all the time. And that's slavery. But with the Lord being our shepherd, we can get out of ourselves. We can be free of that demand. Now listen to what the psalm says. This rest doesn't mean everything works out the way we want. The Lord guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. Now we would think in order to rest, we should not be in a dark valley. Well, we are. The world is a dark valley. And being in a dark valley is not a restful place unless we have someone taking care of us. That's the Lord. What about this one? You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. Well, you would think if we're in the sight of our foes, we can't rest because we have to fight or at least defend ourselves. Not if the Lord is fighting for us and the Lord is defending us, then we can rest even though we're in the sight of our foes. Are we in the sight of our foes? Yes. We live in a hostile world. We even have spiritual forces against us who could easily overwhelm us if we didn't have the good shepherd taking care of us. So what the psalm reveals to us is the source of our rest is our dependence on God. Again, it goes back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. If you're poor, you can receive. If you're dependent on God, then God can give you what he wants. But if we are full of ourselves, of our plans, of our determination about how things have to be, then we can never rest. We're constantly trying to improve things for ourselves. The fullness of rest is in God. We don't experience it fully in this life. There will always be some limitation. There's always going to be some demand. There's always going to be some dark valley, some foes who oppose us. And those things will always create some tension for us. But we know our ultimate rest is in God forever. God does not only set us free from slavery in Egypt, slavery to the necessities of food and clothing, shelter. He frees us from the tomb, from the crushing burden of sickness and death. And that's why we can be confident in having rest in the Lord, because he's victorious over every enemy of rest. So come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. We're resting right now as we're being fed by the word. We're resting here in the liturgy as we give ourselves to God and accept his gift of himself to us. But that is still an experience of rest on our pilgrimage through this life. We look forward to eternal rest. Eternal rest. Eternal rest grant to them, O Lord. Well, we pray that the Lord will grant eternal rest to us as well. That's what we're made for. And that's what God has in mind for us not just sleeping forever, but being satisfied, fully satisfied in our union with him forever.